Seattle rap star Macklemore is out with a new track, and it is very conflicted.
If I'm only in this for my own self-interest, not the culture that gave me a voice to begin with, then this isn't authentic. It is just a gimmick. The DIY underdog, so independent. But the one thing the American dream fails to mention is I was many steps ahead to begin with.
The track is called White Privilege 2. He did a song 10 years ago called White Privilege. This one is a 9-minute affair in which Macklemore wonders about his own advantages, about his theft of African American music and styles, and he wonders about our silence. There's a lot there. What's he trying to accomplish? I spoke to Ahamefule Oluo, a Seattle musician and composer who is part of a group of Seattle artists who collaborated on that song.
I mean, it seems really, I think, at least to me, they wanted to make a message to young white people in America who have been able to kind of stay out of this issue. And to have someone, you know, who has kind of this window into those kids to say, I'm going to make this really controversial, kind of put myself out there. It seems like a plea to bring people up to a certain level of understanding.
Why is it controversial?
It's just controversial because it just doesn't happen. I mean, there really aren't white artists at that level of popularity with that kind of widespread appeal that are making statements like that. You know, I think that he's one of the few people that can do this, that doesn't have someone to tell him, no, this is a bad idea. And for me, it's really hard to see how this would be a self-serving move.
Well, what is what is Macklemore advocating in the song? Like his famous song, Same Love, was very clear. Same-sex marriage, damn right I support it. This song, he seems to be processing, right?
Yeah.
What was he advocating?
I think the biggest thing that this song does is say that as white people, I'm not a white person, but if I were a white person, the message would be, as white people, we have to start thinking about these things. And we have to actually start thinking about the role that we play in these. And we actually have to start having some introspection about these issues that affect American citizens. I think that there is something important about white people in America, particularly young white people in America, saying, I'm going to actually stop and think about these things. I'm going to think about why I react the way that I react to these things. I'm going to actually start thinking about the reality of the world. What am I doing? What am I not doing? And what role do I want to play? Yeah, it'd be great if white teenagers would listen to Angela Davis or they would, you know, read Baldwin. And, you know, that'd be great. But they're not going to. And I think that this is a really great entrance to go through yourself, to start thinking about the role that you play, and then maybe at some point start applying changes to the way that you go about your life.
The song asks, what are you willing to risk? What does Macklemore risk by making this track and video?
I mean, I think he's risking a lot of fans. There's just going to be some people that are not ready to hear this. And I think that he is risking losing more fans than he will gain through this action. That has to be something that he's aware of going into this thing. What you gain is not so much in quantity. It's not so much in just getting this message to as many people as possible. It's about sparking something in some people that creates an actual chain reaction in the way that they think and the way that they decide to perceive themselves in the world. And so I think the risk is losing fans, but I think the gain, you know, even if it's one person that gets that message and it starts a chain reaction and affects the way that they operate in the future, you know, I think it's worth it.
You submitted some music for this track, White Privilege. What's the song you would have written yourself?
The song I would have written would have been much different. You know, I can't write from the perspective of a young white person. It's just not the perspective that I've ever had. And I do write songs about those things. They are much different and maybe may come off as slightly angrier than this particular song.
You sound like you're choosing your words carefully.
It's hard to choose how to talk about these things. And it's really hard to do them right. And it's really, really hard for a white person to do them right, because it's just fraught with danger. You know, there's no way of doing it perfectly. And, you know, I would have made a different song, but I also don't have millions of fans, and there's a reason for that.
There's a section of the song where Macklemore is representing somebody who loves thrift shop. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it sounds like a white mom who, you know, you're the rapper that I let my kids listen to, and you're so positive. But then she ends up looking clueless in this topic when it comes to race.
Yeah.
How much does he risk telling his fans he thinks they're clueless?
I mean, we live in a white supremacist society. We are clueless. Everyone is clueless. And I think that he portrays himself as, to a certain extent, clueless in this issue. So, you know, I think at a certain point, when you go to YouTube and you look at the video for Thrift Shop and you see that it's been viewed literally hundreds of millions of times, which is, you know, as many people as there are in this country, you know, I think at a certain point, you get to honestly assess your cachet in society and say that, okay, I have said things that people have heard and people have responded to. Now I have a responsibility. What am I going to do with that?
Why didn't he figure out how to make his white privilege angst and conflict really grabby and 4-minute anthem?
I mean, this is not going to be a digestible message. To actually do justice to the message that needs to be said, a certain level of discomfort is necessary. I think that in general, as we address these issues, a certain level of discomfort is necessary in addressing these issues in ways that, you know, are not about just making them easy to swallow.
It's not an easy 9 minutes.
No, it's not. It's not even for me. I'm like, oh, man, go easy on yourself a little bit. But I get over it.
Go easy. You're thinking even for you.
Yeah,
thinking Macklemore. Are you okay?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's just the general human empathy that I have is like, man, you're gonna be all right. It's just hang in there. You're doing the right thing.
In that way, he does seem to represent a lot of white people with this. I'm nervous. Should I be here? What should I say? Was it okay that I said that?
Yeah, and those are valid emotions, and those are valid feelings, and those are kind of valid conflicts that we're going to have to address as we try to actually move forward, you know, in solving these issues that go back to the foundation of our country. And this is the way that I look at it. If he is making the right choice, this is what he's doing. This is the right thing to do. Whether or not that makes it good, you know, for me, it's hard to fault people doing the right thing.
Your silence is a luxury. Hip-hop is not a luxury.
We were listening there to Seattle musician and composer Ahame Fule Oluo. He was part of a group of Seattle artists who collaborated on Macklemore's new track. It's called White Privilege 2, and you're hearing a little piece of it now. You can hear the whole thing and decide for yourself. Just join us on Twitter. We're tweeting a link right now to the video of the song White Privilege 2. Go to @KUOW.